often the assumptions within a company will be very different. So recently I worked with a company where they brought me in as a consultant to talk a little bit about their product market fit. They're like, we don't feel like it's very strong. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. So I went around, you know, through different stakeholders and different departments, and I asked, who do you feel we're solving problems for? Everybody gave me a different answer.
Wow.
All of them. All of them had a different answer. Or the one common answer was, we don't know. Like, we don't actually know.
Welcome everybody back to the Product Adoption Academy show by AppKeys. I'm super excited to have here Andrea Sayas. She just wrote, co-authored the book, Product Momentum Gap. Super excited to be here. Andrea, how's it going? How's your day so far?
Good, good. Excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, we were just chatting that you just published this book. This process was easy, painless, and flows really well. Of course, all kidding aside, I've written a book. It's not. It never is, right?
Don't do it. It's a trap.
It's a trap. Don't do it. It's a trap. How was that process for you, though?
Incredibly, incredibly difficult. The book took about a year and a half-ish, maybe a little bit less to write. It's just hard. There's no words to describe just how difficult that, you know, because you've been through it. But it's so difficult. And I'm so lucky that I had Dave Martin, my co-author, there
nice.
With me.
Yeah.
You know, having a partner that is there to like support you and share ideas with. And, you know, honestly, we work really, really well together. And yeah, I think we're both really proud of what we did and the final outcome.
Nice. Let's dig in. I was checking out. I read it. You have some interviews in around it, but like the title itself is the Product Momentum Gap. When I hear it, I was like, oh, it's about like momentum for your users. You had a specific chart here that if people tuning on YouTube will see on the screen. But can you define what the product momentum gap and how do people fall into that gap, which is like, oh, that's bad.
Yeah, that's a great question. So the product momentum gap is essentially that moment in time. Every company goes through it, right? It's as you're scaling in that moment in time where there's a disconnect or a lag between the development of the product and the adoption and the success that it has in the market. So things just kind of start going like this, right? So you're working on all this stuff, but then your momentum, your actual adoption starts going in the opposite direction. And there isn't a single thing, reason that you can go, oh, that's the root of the problem. It can be a variety of different things. But the most important, I think, aspect or thing that can happen, the situation really to be able to identify it, for there to be awareness from the founder's point of view of going, there's a problem, right? First of all, there's a problem. Second of all, how can I help with the problem? Third, am I potentially part of the problem? That's a big one, right? Am I contributing to that problem somehow? And then the last one is, we need help solving the problem. Mm. So yeah, I mean, like I said, if you're in it, it's okay. Like, this happens, right? don't be like, oh my God, how am I going to solve this? There are ways out of it. There are ways of avoiding it as well. So that is, I would say, in a nutshell, kind of what we're talking about and taking the steps in the right direction to be able to get out of it and then focus on momentum, on growth.
And what I'm really hearing is like, it could be many reasons why people fall into it. It could be you make an assumption and you just run with it, or the founder is like really pushing through an idea and a vision that doesn't pan out, or the economy changes. Like, there's a lot of reasons why people fall into this product momentum gap is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. I mean, it could even be, you know, you have pressure from the board to deliver. Mm. You have pressure from, you know, just market pressure. You have to grow, you have to sell, you have to, you know, pivot if you have to, right? There's all these different pressures coming through. And so you really have to be very deliberate and very strict about what is the vision of your product? What is your strategy? What are you actually trying to deliver? When the time comes when you have to make those decisions, for example, of, oh my God, we really need to close this one deal, right? You know that situation. We have to close this one deal. It's going to make us a ton of money. It's going to help us, you know, survive for the next 6 months. Again, everybody goes through this. And if you have to make that tough decision, then the tools that we provide you and having this, you know, this organizational alignment around what your strategy is, what you're going to do, why you're going to do it. At least you have this reference point of where did we make this decision that goes against the plan that we had. Right. And you have that reference point of being able to say, this is why this thing happened.
Right.
And you can look back at it and go, this is when it happened. This is why it happened. And then retrospectively reflect and go, okay, that one feature that we built, was it right for us? Was it not right for us?
Right.
You know, is it now tech debt? Do we sunset it? Do we do something more with it? You know, is there a potential legit opportunity in there somewhere? But at least having this like timeline, historical, you know, reflection that you can look back and say, this is where things changed, perhaps, is really what you want. Because sometimes you can't avoid that decision-making process. But being able to look back and go, okay, how it happened, where it happened, you know, what happened, is just a really great place to start in making sure that you close that momentum gap.
Makes sense. And you're already like starting to allude to this tool that you have, the product value creation plan. Can you explain what that is? I know that I'm going to link in the show notes and description a link where people can check it out. There's like I love it. There's like a Google presentation that they can download and copy. And there's also a PDF, which is super cool. Thank you for creating that. But what is this product value creation plan that you and
Dave put together? So the product value, it's a mouthful, isn't it? So it's product VCP. It's the product VCP for short. And it's a collection of templates that we've put together to kind of guide you through some of the thinking and some of the questions for teams to ask as we're thinking about things like, how do we bring together our OKRs and our product strategy? And the way we bring that together is thinking through some of the user behaviors that are going to result in value. So essentially what we talk about in the book is, if we align the organization around these user behaviors, not only is that going to allow us to create really great products that actually are valuable, right? And you have these repeatable, scalable behaviors that people can employ and engage with. But you can also then use these behaviors to communicate and sell value. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying really high level things like, you know, build a roadmap or reduce your stress, what does that actually mean? What does that actually look like? What are the behaviors that, you know, your customers, your users are going to be repeating? Because inevitably, all products change behaviors, right? It's going to change or modify a behavior somehow. And if that behavior ends up being valuable, then it's going to be repeatable. And if it's repeatable, it's going to be scalable. If it's scalable, then you have growth. So making sure that you're asking all those right questions, that you're identifying those behaviors and those value assumptions, and being able to track them over time and just having those leading metrics, essentially, where you can go, were we wrong? Were we right? Can we pivot? Can we change things very quickly? And being able to respond to that change as well. So there's actually 7 or 8 different templates. You don't have to go through every single template. you know, important, because if you were to go through every single template, it would probably take you a little bit of time. But I've been in situations with teams where I've just grabbed, you know, the pyramid. I call it the value creation pyramid, which essentially just takes everything you can possibly think of and just summarizes it. Because at the end of the day, part of what we talk in the Product Momentum Gap, the book itself, is this is about organizational alignment. It's not product alignment. It's organizational, right? So everybody from the support team to sales, marketing, you know, commercial, product leadership needs to understand what these user behaviors are, what your strategy is like, what your OKRs are, in order to then communicate and sell that value. So the frameworks, the templates, the exercises are for your entire team.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's not just product. It's, you can grab key stakeholders from all of your teams and make sure that you're going through these assumptions and sharing these ideas. And then taking all of that and putting it in this value pyramid where you can communicate these things to everyone. I'm a product person. I can tell you, sure, I'll read a strategy document. I just started a new job and I've read the entire strategy document because I'm into it. But would I expect someone from sales or customer success to be like, yeah, I'm going to read your strategy document? Probably not. So finding ways to summarizing that content, that information for people is also in the book, and just saying, this is how you then also communicate all of this. Mm,
that makes sense.
That was a really long-winded answer.
No, it's a perfect answer. Yeah, I'm really curious about that pyramid. Is it called the product value creation planner, or is it
value mapper. In the middle of the book. I'm actually going through the book so I can try and show on screen. I'm assuming that my face is going to appear when you show this. So it's the value pyramid. Okay. And it looks like this. It's in the middle of the book. And it's a really great way of being able to communicate, you know, the basics, which is, who are we building things for? And I can tell you that often I have walked into companies and asked, who's their target audience? Who's their ICP? Like, who are we actually building things for? And I get so many different answers, or I'll get an I don't know. So having that very, very clear is important. Outlining the problems that we're solving as a company, as a product, you know, outlining the value assumption. So why is this important to our target audience? What are the experiences we want to create, and what are the behaviors that we want to, you know, implement, have users engage with? And when you take all of this and you present it, you actually have a story right there.
That's cool.
So that is already storytelling, right? Yeah. For content, for product marketers, for your marketing team. There's elements from all of this that you can take to create really great presentations and really great storytelling as well for potential customers, for leads, for CS. But often a lot of these things aren't communicated properly. So there's a lot of assumptions that, you know, go on in companies. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, this is about organizational alignment as well.
Nice. That's cool. That pyramid is super helpful. I think knowing who and the problem that they have and how you're providing value is super important. I know in the book itself, you provided a few stories and case studies. Is there one that like sticks out to you? It could even be the one you're working through at the company you're working at, or it could be one of the companies that you provided in the book itself. But like, what does that pyramid look like for a company that you've worked with or helped with or chatted with?
I've used this pyramid previously when I walked into a company, and I was just kind of trying to understand, you know, do we even have a place where we communicate these things?
Right.
And everybody was so lost. Everybody was so lost. We're like, we don't really have a story. We don't really know how to tell our story. So it actually took me about 4 months to just do this one exercise and make sure that, you know, we had alignment around what our strategy was, who we were building things for. You know, what are the problems and challenges in our market? You know, and then going forward with, what are the experiences we want to create, and what are the behaviors that we want to make sure, you know, we're encouraging. And this was an exercise that I did with product, with sales, with marketing. What else do we have there? Obviously leadership.
Right.
Big part, right? This needs to be supported by leadership. And then once we had that, it was so easy for me to work with the director of brand and content to then spin out all the stories that we needed to create. You know, what's the product story? What's the company story? How do we position our website? And it was really great because that actually enabled the team to also understand use cases. So use cases are really, really important as part of that who, right? So who are we building things for? But what are the use cases that we want to present within the product? And we create a new website, and the website was focused around, you know, these use cases, the positioning, the user behaviors that we wanted to encourage. And within a few months of the new website going live, I think our traffic just like doubled.
Nice.
because we were very, very intentional, right? We were very intentional about what is the problem that we're solving, how we communicate that problem, who our audience is, and what are our use cases. So that was a really great result to see.
That's super cool. It's cool to hear that, you know, just knowing who and like making sure
just knowing who. I mean, basics, right?
Yeah, like, but it's so important because often people internal of a company like they take it for granted, right? They're like, oh, we know this stuff, but like, do you really know this stuff?
Yeah. Do you really? Yeah, for sure. And it was super interesting because this is a story that's in the book. of trying to walk into a company and there's like, oh yeah, we have 7 different markets, and within each market there's like, I don't know, 3 different buyer personas and 5 different user personas, and I'm just like, I can't even make math. That my math skills do not go up that high. I'm just like, how are you even doing this?
Right. How are you alive?
Right. How are you alive? Like, where is your focus? And product being like, we don't actually know who we're building things for. Wow. And if we don't know who we're building things for, how do we define these workflows? And how do we define these behaviors? And same for marketing, right? How are we going to build a website? Are we going to have like 7 different flows and journeys and buyer? Like, I cannot wrap my mind around how do you even tackle that problem? So narrowing things down and being very, very intentional, not only is going to allow for that, you know, initial closing of the product momentum gap, but when you move to a different vertical, you can then repeat that exercise and go, how can we be intentional with this new vertical? And most importantly, does this new vertical have use cases that, you know, have in common with what we already have? Like, do they overlap, or do we actually have a new product? Right. And that is, I think, something or a question that needs to be reflected upon, you know, when you're building and selling products, is do we really have a different segment, or do we have a portfolio at this point?
That makes sense. I love how this framework and approach is really getting people to ask the questions, and they really like question assumptions people have. Like, do you really know this? Do you really know that? Like, do you really know who and what and why and like all that stuff? And so
important. Yeah. And not just that, but often the assumptions within a company will be very different. So recently I worked with a company where, you know, they brought me in as a consultant to talk a little bit about their product market fit. They're like, we don't feel like it's very strong. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. So I went around, you know, through different stakeholders and different departments, and I asked, who do you feel we're solving problems for? Everybody gave me a different answer.
Wow.
All of them. All of them had a different answer. Or the one common answer was, we don't know. Mm. Like, we don't actually know. So that was quite interesting. And I'm like, well, if you don't know who you're selling things for, then how do you know that the messaging on your website is working?
Mm.
The reality, it's not. Right. So then we try to go through this process of defining that, that ICP a bit further and looking at those use cases. And I'm like, well, does your website actually reflect that? Right. What is your assumption as a company? And what is the assumption that people looking at your website are actually making? Do those even overlap?
Mm.
So assumptions are not just between customer and company, but even within the company itself. Like, what are the assumptions that we're making, and are we aligned in those assumptions? Assumptions aren't necessarily bad, right? We talk about, you know, value assumptions, but we still need to go research them and validate them and understand them a bit further. We have to start somewhere, but make sure that you're at least aligned in the assumptions that you're making and how you're presenting yourself.
That's super cool. I think that's true. I have a hunch that I wouldn't say a lot, this is just based on experience of places I've worked at, where like, if you ask people within like different functions in the company who we're serving, you get a bunch of answers that are totally different. It's not clearly stated, or like the market's changing so fast sometimes, where like who you think it is has like shifted to the point where like, it's not like, that's why I think research and all this process, would you say the process in the book is not like one time you're done versus like it's something that you need to actually continuously do?
Yeah, absolutely. So as long as your product strategy is changing, then that's when you redo this exercise, right? Mm. Because you want to make sure that you're revalidating those assumptions and making sure that those user behaviors are still valid.
Awesome. Well, Andrea, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for sharing a little bit about the book. Where can people find out more about the book? Where can people find out more about you and follow your content and your work online?
Cool. Yeah. So you can get the book on Amazon. It's available on Kindle as well as actual physical book.
Exciting.
Also Audible. So it's now on Audible as well. Hopefully very soon on Apple Books and Spotify. We're working on that. Nice. I'll make sure to hopefully let everyone know. And yeah, if you want to follow me on LinkedIn, I'm there. Feel free to send a connect. whatever we call it now. What do we call it? A connection request, follow request.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure anymore.
Lingo. But yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, so you can catch me there.
Awesome. Andrea, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.